Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guests on this edition are Southwest Region Health Promotion Program Manager for New Mexico Department of Health, Don Sanchez, and Director of Development and Administration at La Semilla Food Center, Aaron Sherritt. Thank you for joining me today. We're going to be talking about healthy kids in Las Cruces, building a fit future. And we'll start with Don. Don, tell me, how did Healthy Kids come about, and how is it under the umbrella of New Mexico Department of Health?
We're happy to be here, so thank you for this opportunity. Healthy Kids was developed back in 2007. The governor, Richardson, at the time had applied through his office for a National Governors Association grant, which was a one-year grant to create a demonstration project around childhood obesity prevention. And the state, through the Department of Health, was trying to decide which community would receive that opportunity. And lo and behold, Las Cruces was the one who was chosen. So when that happened, my role as a health promotion program manager within the region, it was directed to me to go ahead and start working on that initiative along with some other state partners.
And what was it that spurred the selection of Las Cruces? Do we have more heavy kids?
I think, you know, in our community, we have high rates of poverty, for one thing. Maybe not so much access to those opportunities that folks need to have healthier environments. So it was kind of an opportunity to look at how we can turn that around and make healthier environments here. I was not a part of that decision. I was just told at the end, this is coming your direction, so get ready. So we were definitely ready.
Now, is it still under the umbrella of New Mexico Department of Health?
In a way it is, but it's really evolved. Like I said, it started back in 2007 where we brought several stakeholders from different settings together to say, what do you want to do? So it's really a partnership with our community partners on creating these healthier environments. We don't feel ownership of it like it's our own initiative. It's really those with our partners that we've been able to create change. So I think really the beauty of the initiative is it's brought different folks together from the different settings. We have the five different settings we focus on within the education setting, the food system, the healthcare setting. We look at the built environment, how we build our communities to provide opportunity for physical activity, what have you. And then the last one is also just families and communities, everything kind of in between. So really the beauty of it has been the partnership we've created and what we've been able to do together to just further healthier lifestyles within Las Cruces.
And what is your role with this group?
Our role has really been kind of a neutral facilitator. We've been the ones to just pull the folks together, help coordinate the meetings, help coordinate the events. We do also, right now, we had a little bit of funding through the National Governors Association to provide a little bit of student support. So we definitely bring on a lot of NMSU students to help, at least with the Department of Health, in projects that we have currently going on. And up to this point, now in 2011, the state also received a community transformation grant through the Center for Disease Control, which is a $1.5 million grant over 5 years. How they wrote that application is they actually want to replicate Healthy Kids Las Cruces in 14 other communities around the state. So we were really that pilot that allowed the state to apply for additional money to then actually replicate us throughout the state. And Doñana County is still one of the funded communities now under this new funding stream. So we have a little bit of funding, too, to help support some of our partners to continue the work that they're doing.
And so a lot of it is volunteer-based, or do you have a few staff?
Right. We do actually have one person, Katie Redd is her name, who is our actual contractor for the Healthy Kids Las Cruces Coalition. So she is our main coordinator for here in Las Cruces.
Well, you talked about six different points for this Healthy Kids system. A built environment, what does that mean?
Sure. Well, the built environment really is, how do we plan our city? Are there sidewalks? Are you able to ride your bike, walk, you know, plus have the cars on the street? So it really talks about what are the opportunities within the built environment for us to get out and be physically active and have access to what we need. So within the built environment, we work a lot with the Metropolitan Planning Organization. One of the big initiatives that we have through that specific setting is a Safe Routes to Schools program, which is kind of going back to get those kids out walking and riding their bikes to school, kind of encouraging more physical activity. And with that comes a built environment component of, well, if that's the case, we need to make that route safe. So we need to have sidewalks or signage, what have you. So that's a big piece of what we work on within that environment. The Department of Transportation is also a big partner with us in that specific initiative, plus the schools as well.
And have you seen a big difference with the children since you started?
if you're specifically looking at the built environment and Safe Routes to School, there are more and more schools are coming on board with having actual programs at the school where they do facilitate having the kids walk to school in the morning. And we even have Massey Elementary also as a bike train where they have the kids actually ride their bikes one morning a week, too. One great piece about that, too, is through the Department of Transportation at the state level, the city is receiving close to $500,000 to create better, safer infrastructure in prioritized schools around Las Cruces. So we're seeing that that has been successful in bringing the attention to what we're doing here and the partnerships we develop and the interest to actually bring some more funding in to create those safer trails to the schools.
Now, you talk about Las Cruces. Does that encompass also the smaller areas? You talked about Mesilla. What about Doñana? Any of the other smaller communities around?
Mm-hmm. When we talk about Healthy Kids Las Cruces, we're primarily focusing in Las Cruces. Now that we have additional funding through the Community Transformation Grant, we're also doing some work to develop a coalition in Anthony, the city of Anthony. So we're working in that area, and I know La Semilla will be a big partner with us in that community, and also in the Hatch area. So those are two other areas that we're putting more focus on to create same kind of system set up in those areas.
So that brings us to the food system with La Semilla, and yes. We'll talk to Aaron. And tell us about La Semilla and how you've been involved with that and how this combines with the Healthy Kids Las Cruces.
Sure. So La Semilla is a pretty young organization. We formed about 3 years ago. Me and a couple of really good friends and colleagues were working on some community garden and youth education projects, and really saw the desire both among families and among youth to really become more involved in learning to grow food and learning to cook, as well as making it economically viable. So that was kind of the impetus for us to get La Semilla going. A lot of that work happened in the southern part of the county. Then maybe about 3 years ago, we got involved with Healthy Kids Las Cruces. I think from day one, it just seemed like a natural fit. I mean, what we're trying to do within La Semilla is to create this kind of systemic change within our food system here, really emphasizing what we eat, how it's grown, and what that means for our economies, for our bodies, for our community. And really saw a lot of those kind of same values and principles really playing out in the Healthy Kids Las Cruces initiative, where you have this systemic work and you have the five different settings and really this broad coalition of really engaged people, you know, that work in very diverse fields, coming together to really create that healthful change, to really kind of confront head on the obesity epidemic, diabetes, all these health diet related illnesses and diseases that we're facing at high rates in our county, and really doing something to address that, kind of both with private sector, with public sector, with elected officials, bringing everybody together at the table.
What do you see the major role of La Semilla, which means the seed, being played with Healthy Kids, along with what you've just mentioned? What other roles?
Sure. So part of what we do that's part of the Healthy Kids Las Cruces program or initiative, one of the programs that we have through La Semilla is our Farm to School program, and a big part of that is school gardens. So we work within schools. We place AmeriCorps volunteers that basically serve as kind of an extension to teachers. We know teachers are all strapped for time. Schools are strapped for resources. So what we're able to provide is somebody on the ground in schools, in a couple elementary schools here in Las Cruces, a couple of middle schools, and within the Gadsden district too, that work hand in hand with teachers and administration at those schools to engage students in garden-based education, as well as nutrition education, and to help coordinate. You know, I mean, we're able to take a small role in kind of the bigger picture. And so part of what we do, too, then in our role through the Healthy Kids Las Cruces is to coordinate, you know, other people coming in to teach, working with Cooperative Extension, for example, in their nutrition programs. They run the ICAM program and their other programs. So really acting kind of as a coordinator, as an organizer, as well as a direct service provider.
Mm-hmm. How do you see kids embrace this program? Are they eager to learn about it?
Yes, they definitely are. And I will say kudos, I think, to Aaron and his staff, because when you talk about the seed, too, I mean, the motivation, the excitement, the fun that his staff bring to the students when it comes to gardening or eating your vegetables or trying something new it's there. And the kids really feed on that. And they're right there alongside Aaron's staff on trying it and trying something different. So I think the kids really are embracing it. They get very excited. They really enjoy spending time with Aaron's staff and even in the garden. Because you hear, you know, some kids will say, I've never had my fingers in the dirt before. I've never done this.
I've never tried an apple.
Right.
So. Never tried an apple.
Right.
Yeah, we had a middle school student who commented that they'd never tried an apple. She just never really was interested in trying new foods. And an apple for most mm-hmm. people is not a new food. It's not something out of the ordinary. For us, it's about engaging the students really through fun, energetic, creative ways to learn.
And one thing they're successful at, too, is the programs that they have. They're doing, they do various things at some of our schools, but it also includes getting the parents involved, where we know the kids usually have limited decision-making power when it comes to what food the family's buying or what have you, but it helps educate the kids and allow them to also be an advocate for themselves when their family's out grocery shopping or, hey, let's try and grow something in our backyard, you know. So it's really been positive in that respect. And you do see that the kids get very excited, and they do take the information to heart, and they will talk about, yes, I went home and I made this with my mom or my family. Absolutely. We cooked this weekend, you know, we tried it. So that's kind of the whole idea around nutrition education, is at least exposure, get kids exposed to different things and just give it a try.
Do you also educate the parents?
Yeah, we do a lot to engage parents. We do evening cooking nights where we really encourage parents to come, work days in the garden to really bring parents in. And I'd reiterate what Don said. One thing we found, we kind of took for granted from the beginning, was we can begin, you know, to educate, work with young kids to create maybe this generational change. But the power that the kids have at home, the voice, the influence that they have at home, was something that I think we didn't fully expect. They aren't, you know, the ultimate decision makers per se, generally, but they have incredible influence in what their parents buy, where they go out to eat, all those things. And that's something that we've learned long ways, the incredible influence that children have, young children, and changing and then making decisions.
And then the incredible influence you have on them then.
Mm-hmm.
So this goes into the education system with the food system and then again your built environments. And now you talked about the obesity that is high in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Is New Mexico one of the highest states for child obesity? Do you know?
We're definitely in line with the rate of the nation around childhood obesity. We do have, I know there's a little statistics that we have. The state, starting in 2010, we started to do some BMI surveillance around the state, because you really cannot find, if people ask you, what is our childhood obesity rate? We didn't have any data that would actually tell that. We don't really collect a lot of data between elementary, say middle school age. But we did do some BMI surveillance, which is a random sample of school districts around the state. And then the school districts are invited to participate if they want to or not. But what we've seen across the state is that when you look at the numbers of obese, and we just collect data on kindergarten and third grade, but we have about a rate of 15% of kindergartners are obese. So you're talking about a 5-6-year-old coming into school already within the obese category. And then third grade, it rises to nearly 22%. And we've seen that pretty consistently from the 2 years that we've been able to collect that data statewide. And we did do a small sample in Las Cruces, and we're right about at that same level. So the one thing that is probably shocking is just the fact that from coming in kindergarten already with having a challenge ahead of you, but when you get to third grade, that it really jumps quite a bit. So by the time they're 8 years old, you'll see, you know, they're really going to have to look at their behavior or ways that they can kind of turn that around to create a healthier lifestyle. So
they've already established their way of mm-hmm. of living, mm-hmm. of doing, of eating mm-hmm. and creating. So you're helping to bring a new lifestyle for them.
Right, right. Right. And that's the hope, too, with our initiative by working in those five different settings, is that hopefully, you know, if that family is, you know, of course, the children are going to be in the education setting during the day. So we work closely with Nancy Cathy, who's the director of nutrition services, and Barbara Berger as well, to really look at those healthy school meals. They also do tasting programs through the schools to expose kids to more nutrition. But as the families go through their day, you know, the kids are at school or the mom's going to the grocery store to find out what to get for dinner. Hopefully there's some, you know, local food, local produce there at the grocery store that she can get that's nice and fresh. So we're really trying to influence each of those settings to really make the healthy choice the easy choice to create a healthier environment in Las Cruces.
I was just going to say, and I would add to that too, I mean, as we're working in the settings of schools, thinking about kind of, you know, larger community, we know that just access to those things, whether it's safe routes to school, whether it's good food, it matters. It matters in every way, especially when it comes to health and the illnesses that we're talking about. And we know, and one of the facts we do have is that in Doniana County, let's see, the national average for the number of fast food restaurants in a county, it's about 25% in your average U.S. county. 25% of all restaurants are fast food. In Doniana County, it's 50%. We know that as well as just access to convenience store foods, to our junk foods, really impacts health, especially when those are so much more readily available and in a lot of ways affordable. Mm-hmm. They're cheaper to produce than real food.
Vending machines in the schools, has that changed at all?
Right. There are, you know, there was a rule that was passed. There are no vending machines in elementary school. You know, there are no soda machines allowed for the students. And then once you get into the middle school, I think they're only allowed like 100% fruit juice and water. So that has changed. There was a mandate that came down under Governor Richardson's administration to make that change. So that happened probably 5 or 6 years ago. And again, I'm not an expert on that, but I know our folks from the school district can definitely talk about that. But that has changed. The vending machines, for example, are no longer in elementary. And when you get into middle and high school, it's very limited what the options are.
Across the street from Las Cruces High School.
Sure. Well, like Aaron mentioned, you know, our environment has a huge influence on our behavior. So that's a perfect example. And the ability, like I said, the access. I mean, there's access all around, you know, the schools to be able to do that. That's why really creating environments where, again, the healthy choice is the easier choice to make is kind of where we're trying to promote and move forward with this initiative.
And that's a national
Right.
What things would you then suggest to a parent or to a child? What is it they hear when you first come to them about this program?
You know, one of the biggest things I think we look at is parents are the biggest role model for their children. That is the one person that children look up to. So they're going to model exactly the behaviors of their parents. So, I mean, just letting parents know that they really need, if they want to create certain behaviors with their kids, then they need to start with them. You know, if it's eating more fresh fruits and vegetables, or if it's going for that evening walk or just trying to be out and be active, not coming home and just having the TV on all the time, what have you. But that's one thing that I think as a parent, to be very conscious of that. It's easier to, you know, action speaks so much louder than words. So I think that's one thing I just wanted to say, that the parents have a really, you know, that's the strongest role model for kids in their lives.
And do you find any rejection from parents on this program? Have you found anybody rejecting the program?
We haven't at all. Mm-mm. I think reception has just been incredibly positive. Yeah, I think the right people are at the kind of in the right positions, trying to lead these things at the right time, and things are coming together, and there's a lot of support and desire and a lot of opportunity to get involved.
Right. We also, you know, we have the 5 different settings, but we also thought, well, let's focus on one specific site, and we picked Conley Elementary as kind of the place to put all these settings, types of activities into that school. You know, it's one of our, I think it's pretty much 98% free and reduced lunch at that school. So it's a large elementary school. But at that point in time, we picked it too. The principal was a huge champion. And the current principal that's there as well is a huge champion, and the staff as well. And one thing they have seen anecdotally is that they've seen changes in the parents' behavior when they bring in snacks for parties or what have you. You know, is it okay if I bring water this time and bring, you know, the big jugs, 2-gallon jug of Coke or whatever? So they've seen some changes in the parents' behaviors. So that's been something that's been very positive, is within that school setting, they've really taken to heart healthy kids and creating a healthier environment. So they hear different programs going on, and it's really been, I think, successful in that way, that they've actually seen the parents' behavior start to change.
So that's part of your families and community aspect of this program then, with suggesting that they maybe join a league or use the city's recreational facilities?
Sure, definitely. Yes, so that's the opportunity, right, to pull in some of our other partners and what we really have available. You know, in Las Cruces, we have some close to 80 or so parks in this community, plus you have over, I think, roughly 36, of course, my stats aren't always perfect, schools, which have playgrounds to them. So there's really lots of opportunity to be physically active in the community. And then we do have, you know, a great farmer's market and things like that where people can get out and really interact and get some local produce.
So also a lot of these programs, like the parks, it doesn't cost anything.
No. Very minimal. Yeah, very, very minimal. So, and we also, you know, within the families and communities, I just have to give our mayor just a little bit of kudos. He's been tremendous. When we came to him back in 2005, we said, you know, Las Cruces was chosen. What can we do? And we gave him an idea of, you know, if you continue the same behavior over 21 days, it's supposed to become a regular behavior. So we said at that point in time, there was a buzzword around 5-2-1-0, which is eating 5 fruits and vegetables a day. This is for kids. No more than 2 hours of screen time a day. So reduce your TV, your computer, what have you. At least 1 hour of physical activity, which is the recommended guidelines. And then he was very strong about and zero sodas. So he created a Mayor's Fitness and Nutrition 5-2-1-0 challenge that he has been going to every third grade class in Las Cruces Public Schools. This is his fifth year of doing that. So he issues this challenge to them. And if they're able to complete a little booklet for him that talks about that with their parent's signature, so the parent has to be involved, they will get a mayor's gold coin.
So a gold coin from Mayor Ken Miyagashima.
Yes. So it's been tremendous that he has really committed to that, and he's been committing to that for 5 years. It takes an hour of his day, you know, to go into these elementary schools and talk about this challenge and how important it is to take care of yourself. And another piece of it, too, just is also to stay in school. So that's in partnership with Superintendent Rounds as well, but really being focused on it's important to take care of yourself, stay in school to become productive folks, you know, within our community, and one day maybe even become mayor of our community. So it's really a wonderful combination, and we really appreciate his support and his time and commitment he's made to that program himself.
So again, on this 5-2-1-0, so that brings it back home, mm-hmm. and where I noticed that in the brochure you talk about TVs in bedrooms. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. There should not be TVs in bedrooms.
And why is that?
It's very simple. It's too easy, I think, for, you know, if there is a TV there, again, access points. If there's a TV in your bedroom, what's the point in having to go outside or do something else or read when you can easily turn on the TV? I mean, we've, I think, become a society where the TV is just on wherever you go. So it is something that definitely is not positive for kids to create healthier behaviors early on. And that was one thing when the mayor started his 5-2-1-0 challenge, and we actually did a focus group of some of the kids at Conley Elementary, and one of the kids said, you know what, my mom took my TV out of my bedroom, you know, and he was a little bit upset about that, but that was the right thing to do. You know, he wanted to meet that challenge, so I think she had to probably take away that, you know, the temptation to sit there and watch TV to, well, let's go outside and play basketball or go for a walk or whatever it might be.
Well, and it says a lot, too, I think, about the time allotted for or TV as a priority versus other things. I mean, mm-hmm. even cooking right. or sitting down for a meal together as a family. I mean, such an important time, especially with young children. And right. as they get older, right. a time to interact, to hear how right. days went, to talk about problems. And so many families, you know, that's kind of gone by the wayside for the TV, mm-hmm. for convenient meals and TV.
Right. The TV sometimes has taken place of a babysitter
right.
in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
If we have so many families that have to work, the two parents
sure.
working.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
In fact, thinking back about the schools, it's still Lorenzo Alba, who's a director of Casa de Peregrinos. At one of the meetings we had a few months ago now, he mentioned, we're talking about school food and, you know, the importance of proper nutrition. And he said something that just resonated with me, in which I think you could probably do a whole great campaign around, about food is the most important school supply. Mm-hmm. And it just really resonated, especially in the work we do. But thinking about Conley and the tremendous percentage of students that are on free and reduced lunch there, as well as other schools in our area, and about really the importance of the nutrition they receive at school. It might be the only meal they receive, but then also mm-hmm. the importance of that for their own health, for their own growth, their ability to concentrate, to learn. And if mm-hmm. you think about that in the context of the home, too, it,
right.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It, mm-hmm. Of course it is in a lot of ways. But we've, I don't know, just evolved to this point where for a while, I think we thought we didn't need to think about food. It was solved. It was cheap. It was there.
Right.
It was, you know, what we're realizing, that sort of system also has some pretty dire consequences that we're beginning to face now, and try to figure out how to overcome. So
we have so much to talk about healthy kids. And as you said, that's so important to get the families involved. Well, we're going to save more of these questions for our next interview, which we will have a follow-up interview with La Semilla. We've talked about healthy kids in Las Cruces. And then I again appreciate you coming down here on Puentes.
Thank you very much. You. Please, get in touch with us. You can contact me directly. My name, again, is Dawn Sanchez. My number here in Las Cruces is 528-5148. You can also go on to a website we have, which is www.healthynm.org. And we have a Healthy Kids Las Cruces contact information there as well. So we'd love to have more partners. So we're very happy to be a part of the show today.
My guests on this edition of Puentes are Southwest Region Health Promotion Program Manager for New Mexico Department of Health, Dawn Sanchez, and La Semilla Food Center's Director of Development and Administration, Aaron Sherritt. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.